This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
It's time for Crack the Customer Code, the ultimate podcast to help you unlock the secrets to understanding and connecting with your customers. Now it's time for your hosts, the Wonder Twins of Customer Experience, Adam Toporek and Jeannie Walters.
Well, Jeannie, ye of little faith, you did not think I could do it.
Do what?
Have an entire podcast discussion about artificial intelligence without mentioning Skynet taking over.
That is true.
As I realize that I'm adding this to the intro, technically I did not make it through an entire episode because I'm doing it now. Okay, I lose, you win. Congratulations.
Oh, I'm just going to take out that sound clip and make it my new ringtone.
You would like that, wouldn't you? Well, much like the idea of Skynet, you're disconnected from reality. So that makes sense. You see, so we are talking about artificial intelligence today because it is one of the most important conversations we're having in customer experience. Obviously, it is changing the game in a lot of ways, and not only changing the current game, but more importantly, giving us a lens into even bigger changes to come. And we really get into that today with our guests.
Yeah, we do. And I think it's a challenge, right? Because we've talked about AI for a long time now. We've talked about machine learning, but we've also seen some of the missteps that have happened with it. And people have become a little cautious about it because when it first rolled out, we saw some chats go a little cuckoo. What's the right word?
Cuckoo was probably family friendly, and we'll stick
with that. Yeah. And so I think this discussion about kind of combining human intelligence and really human activity and behavior back to machine learning and vice versa, that's a really important discussion. So I'm glad that we had it.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you can't, you know, we go to a lot of these conferences. I'm sure many of our listeners do, you know, in the CX space. And there's just the change in the last 5 years of who the vendors are and what they are doing.
Yeah.
And the technology side of experience is fascinating. And you got to keep up with this stuff. If your company's not doing it to really sort of stay at the forefront of CX, you got to keep up with this stuff. And guess what? We're bringing you just the conversation to help you do that. Because there's a lot of good meat in this conversation about the topic.
Absolutely. So let me tell you about our guest. Our guest was Anthony Bryden. He is the CEO and co-founder of Directly, a leader in customer support automation that works with enterprise companies to launch and train virtual agents that double their automation rate. Companies like Airbnb, Microsoft, and Samsung use Directly's Expert in the Loop AI platform to tap the expertise of their most experienced customers, delivering content, training, and answers to their virtual agent to significantly boost performance. Anthony graduated from Yale University with a BA in psychology and philosophy and currently resides in San Francisco, California. Anthony, we're so happy that you're here with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we're going to jump right in because it seems like we can't scroll through a list of articles or a set of podcasts without talking about artificial intelligence and customer experience. But sometimes a lot of people tend to worry that the goal of artificial intelligence is completely to replace humans. But we're hoping that's not true. We always think of it more as a blend, as a combination. And I think that's sort of your perspective. Tell us a little bit about how the combination of humans and artificial intelligence are going to change, maybe even revolutionize customer service as we know it.
You know, I think for some organizations and some ambitions, some companies do have the idea that automation will replace people in different roles. That's a theoretical. Practically, we're discovering it is very difficult to make automation work without injecting human intelligence into these systems. So the two ways these systems are growing up are automation that helps humans, and in the customer service context, that's automation that makes agents more effective. The area that we focus on is injecting human expertise into the automation systems so that those systems can perform better. We call that expert in the loop. Both approaches have humans providing some essential elements that the machines cannot today.
And so can you tell us a little bit about how that works and what are those essential elements that machines don't have?
So in the systems that we build, we focus on a technology that's called expert in the loop. And what that means is that we help companies build these networks of domain experts. For Airbnb, it could be hundreds of five-star hosts. For Microsoft, it could be hundreds of Xbox gamers. And those domain experts have a context and an understanding and ability to actually train the systems to work better. So when customer questions are coming in and a machine is categorizing them into two different camps, those domain experts can actually label those different clusters and help build out those clusters more effectively so that intents of the customer are actually understood. That's a simple example. Machines may be very good at casting and categorizing into A, group A, group B, and group C. They're not necessarily good at understanding what A and B and C are about. And that's mm-hmm. where networks of domain experts can really help. In our platform, we fiscally reward, we pay these networks of experts for doing those tasks, and their rewards increase as they make the machines more and more effective.
It's like Wikipedia, except the end user is a machine, not a human, that's trying to learn the information. You're crowdsourcing in a way. I mean, I don't know if that's the word you use in what you do, but it's sort of the principle of crowdsourcing, right?
Yeah, we actually get to use machine, it's fun because we use machine learning in two respects. One, when the tasks come in when a customer intention needs to be understood, we're able to use machine learning to figure out which domain experts to send that work to, and then when that work is done, we've got the ability to put it back into the machine so that machines can do the work or answer the question more effectively. So I think that we're actually using machine learning on two fronts: to tap the right people at the right time for the skills that they're good at, and then to make the machine smarter. But it is definitely about these networks of experts providing the context, and the understanding that the machines can.
Oh, I love that. So I'm going to play like devil's advocate for a minute, because I pretty much believe in this, and I believe we always should use the technology that we can to get the most effective business results. But it almost seems, if I play devil's advocate, like, if you send the question enough times to the human, the case, the issue, and then the machine learns from it, eventually it's teaching the machine to, the person is teaching the machine to do its job. So what would the counter answer to that be? Or would that be a yes?
So that is a yes, but then you have to imagine the scenario where the context changes all of a sudden. So the machine is very good at understanding the ins and outs of your cell phone. Because it understands the Android system that has been out, for 6 or 12 months. And then all of a sudden on your cell phone, the Android OS changes, or the app that you're running changes. And all of that knowledge that the machine has about the way things are supposed to work instantly becomes irrelevant.
Oof.
I think to your point, in areas, that is an area where that human knowledge, that human insight of the can be used to then retrain the machine, through that inflection point of new knowledge and new context. Mm-hmm. To your point, in areas where knowledge doesn't change, where the answer to question A is the same on Monday and Friday, and Monday and Friday a year from now, those are positions where human insight And human context and those human skills will become less important. But the the industries that are moving quickly, you know, and the world is moving quickly right now. You know, those are areas where that human understanding is going to be perpetually valuable and perpetually critical to making these machines work. You know, the important thing to understand, automation is not a new phenomenon, 40, 50, 60 years old. But the final frontier of automation, the most difficult challenge of automation has been automation actually interacting with a person in undirected ways, undeterministic ways. What do I mean by that? Well, ATMs are automation that replace bank tellers. And they were really quickly adopted and really quickly accepted because the way you interact with that is very prescribed. You know, there are a set of deterministic actions. You put in your keypad, you determine how much money you're getting, and you're out. Virtual agents and conversations with machines is very different. When you ask a question, when you say a sentence, that conversation can go in 1,000 unpredictable directions. That's why this is the final frontier. And it has proved a frontier that machines alone can't solve. You know, and you can look at, you know, any of hundreds of kind of chatbot fiascos over the last 5 years.
Yep.
You know, to kind of prove it. So it's a daunting challenge, but it is one of those areas where human insight and expertise, you know, provides an advantage that is going to be sustainably acquired to make that work.
And so what are some of your kind of favorite examples of how this combination of machine learning and human learning really has served customers? What are some of the examples that you see that give us hope for the future of humans and robots living together in harmony?
So one of my favorite examples, you know, comes from the gaming vertical. Companies like Xbox and Riot and Rockstar, and it's one of my favorite examples because game speak and gamers. You know, if you've gone on these forums, you know, and you've talked to the gamers and you've heard the language, it is almost like a foreign language.
It is. You know, it totally is.
The slang, the acronyms, you know, are you know, almost impossible to understand what folks are talking about. You know, that is an area where machines, even if they're trained up, you know, with English, with French, with Spanish, you know, with common language, where they absolutely fall down on what a gamer means when he asks a specific question in game speak. So the machines struggle in that respect, you know, to deliver an answer, to deliver the right help article back, you know, or to the route to the right person. So my favorite examples are where you've got large networks of gamers, you know, in our context, you know, Xbox gamers or Riot gamers or Rockstar gamers. And those gamers are actually taking those inbound customer questions and with their knowledge that no other, you know, average person could have, categorizing them, tagging them, labeling them, and then helping the machines deliver the right responses back. Those are the most fun examples to me.
Definitely. And so they've actually been able to learn the language and even like the weird text acronyms and everything.
Yeah, that's right. And they can take a cluster of questions, you know, and if you visually imagine it, you know, they're dots on an XY axis and then they cluster in certain groups and those clusters, you know, represent certain intents. They're able to take that cluster and often, you know, when the machine says this just like looks like one big cluster about virtual currency, they're able to understand the nuances there and break that cluster into four or five different clusters. And when you break those four clusters into four or five, you're not giving one generic answer, you know, to one generic question, which I think we're pretty familiar with, you know, systems that say, hey, thanks for your question. You know, check out these articles, you know, and it's just a long list of library articles and they're just kind of spraying and praying and hoping they hit. Yes, they're able to break it down into individual clusters. So, and when you break it down into small clusters, you're able to deliver a response, you know, or an article that meets exactly what the customer wants. So this is, you know, we have, I'm a little bit sober about the past. I'm very optimistic about these systems moving forward. You have to be sober about the failures of the last 5 years. You know, the frustrating experiences, the companies that have these successful automation rates, and it's not uncommon to be in the low single digits, you know, only succeeding 1 or 2 or 3% of the time. They have proven that in today's state of the art, the machines alone, without sustained training, without sustained insight, aren't going to deliver. So that is the piece that we're most excited about. That is why we focus so heavily on the injection of human expertise into this one, and then the reward model to pay people for training those machines too.
Well, that's, yeah. And I'm glad you bring up the failure. So this is funny timing. Now this is, has to do with when we're recording this to our listeners, not when this episode actually releases, but I literally just released an episode on my YouTube channel this week, essentially ranting a little bit about companies using the technology before it's ready and how damaging that is to the customer experience. So I like that you're bringing up that, it's been a bit of a rough ride, and I think companies, and you can speak more to this maybe, or rolling this stuff out too fast sometimes and actually damaging customer experience. Where do you think we are in that, sort of curve right now?
Well, there's a couple things. One, I'm of mixed mind. I think it's painful when these new technologies roll out and they kind of hurt the brand, and they go through that kind of hype cycle of kind of needing to build themselves back into a position where they're actually delivering. And we went through that very painful cycle, not with just with chatbots, but 10, 15 years prior with IVR.
Right.
The agony of trying to read a credit card number, to a machine that would just destroy it, reading mm-hmm. back to you. We have finally in 2019 got to the point where those systems are somewhat reliable, but it's been 15 years of rough ride and frustrated consumers. I agree with you. What I am optimistic about is in the 5 case studies that we've run recently, when you add the human component to the automation, I think across all our systems, the customer satisfaction of those automated responses is near parity with the best human experts or the best human agents. These are small scale tests. So I do not claim them to be definitive, across every industry and every company, but they do hold out the promise to roll this out in a way that you don't have to take 20-point brand hits. I think a lot of companies are kind of resigned to taking a brand hit, like they did when they went IVR ultimately successfully, or when they went offshore ultimately unsuccessfully.
Yes.
I don't think they have to take the brand hit. Our goal is to make sure that companies don't have to take this massive brand hit and frustrate, millions or billions of consumers when they roll over.
Well, that's the way to do it, because too often the cost savings is leading and not the experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I will say that one of the areas where I think we're in a promising place, we are getting to, we are at a point right now where finally the consumer and the companies, are agreeing on the preferred modes of interaction. And that's quite pleasing. And what I mean by that, for the last 20 years, companies have wanted to get consumers off the phone into digital channels because they're cheaper and more effective. Consumers have kind of clung to the phone systems because the digital channels weren't performing. Today in 2019, if you take asynchronous messaging, for example, the customers still have that goal of getting folks into a digital channel. The consumers today have iPhones and Android phones that are effectively no longer phones. They're texting devices, they're digital messaging devices. And that, that is leading itself, for example, to phone volume to call centers and customer service dropping for the first time in 20 years. And it's because the way that the consumers want to interact and the way the companies want to interact are finally meeting up. On the automation front, folks are finding when automation works, they don't have to wait 5, 10, 15, minutes to talk to a person. So there is a meeting of the minds in 2019, unquestionably on the messaging front, and to some degree on the automation front, where folks are aligned for the first time. And that's why I think 2019 is different than 2009 and 1999.
Well, I think that paints a really optimistic view of the future, too. And it makes me feel like we're finally getting this thing. So that's a great place to wrap up here. So, Anthony, how can people learn more about you? Where can they find you? You know, tell us where to find you.
Cool. The company is Directly, and the website is directly.com. And all of our contact information is on that site. And, you know, we make it easy to run a short test, 30 days or so, have experts train a virtual agent, and then show the impact of their efforts in terms of improved automation rate.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, I appreciate it. It was a fun conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. Appreciate it.
Well, the robots are coming, whether we like it or not. And I like the idea that maybe they're going to be working hand in hand with real humans.
Sure. That's how it always starts, Jeannie. Okay.
Yes, there's nothing to fear from our robot overlords.
Not at all. Sorry, my tinfoil hat is being fitted as we speak.
Yeah, we often end up here, but it's... I thought it was really fascinating to think about how tapping into kind of the group power of humanity can help AI learn more. I thought that was a really cool idea.
Right. So the interesting thing about machine learning is the only thing a machine can learn, not the only thing, I shouldn't say it that way, but most of the important things that a machine is learning, it is learning from humans, not from itself. You know, it's mm-hmm. learning from data and then from the human-informed data, so to speak, right? And I think that's always important to remember. You know, we always talk about making the technology as human and possible. We've had a few conversations around, you know, companies that are doing that and all of that. And I think I'm still seeing it get lost. You know, that video I mentioned, people using the tech before it's ready. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, we'll always have a job, Jeannie, or we'll always have a mission. And certainly this is not Anthony we're talking about. We're talking about the world because Anthony gets it. He was, you know, mm-hmm. evangelizing it, but just remembering the human at the end of the technology.
Yep. Yep, for sure. Just like we should remember the humans listening to this right now.
Nice. We haven't had a good segue in a while. Nice.
Well, and you know, we might have a few machines. Maybe we're helping them learn right now. So
they're definitely listening.
Lesson number one, be nice to everybody. There you go. You're welcome. There we go. thank you so much for listening to Crack the Customer Code. Crack the Customer Code is a proud member of C-Suite Radio. Be sure to check out all the great business content at csuiteradio.com and csuitetv.com. I'm Jeannie Walters, and you can learn more about me and our journey mapping programs, customer experience training, workshops, and speaking at experienceinvestigators.com.
And I'm Adam Toporek, and while lots of people can help your machines learn, we help your teams learn with customer service workshops and training that are bar none. So check us out at customersatstick.com. Until next time, take care of yourself.
And take care of your customers.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.